Hey, everybody, and welcome to the New Mexico FBI Hop Podcast. This is week two of our podcast, and I'm Matt, and I'm here with Paul.
Hello.
That's Paul. And we're here to talk about more New Mexico politics. Last week, we discussed some pretty interesting stuff. We got some good feedback. I know clearly New Mexico, they mentioned our podcast, thanks to them. And we got some comments over at the blog. So this week, we're going to do it again. And we're going to start off with a story that broke today. Well, actually, we're going to start out with something that was similar that started last Thursday, and there's another story that broke today. And they both involve GOP scandals here in Albuquerque, well, we're in Rio Rancho, but in the 1st Congressional District. And the first one was the state GOP, they threatened smear campaigns against potential opponents to Darren White, against Janice Arnold-Jones, Mark Boitano, and Joe Curaro. And Joe Curaro, of course, he's in the race anyways, despite this. So tell us more about this, Paul.
Oh, well, what it looks like now is that people have been threatening these candidates to try to get them out of the race, to clear the way for, I guess, like the Republicans' chosen person, which is Darren White.
The golden boy, Darren White.
That they were warned that the party officials had already decided that the candidate was to be Bernalillo County Sheriff Darren White. And I'm reading this straight from, we're reading that straight from our blog, from a quote that we have. And it's just mind-boggling that you can see that they're so set on having him run, which is fine with me, because I find him totally beatable, a lot more than everyone else. But they're threatening to dig up dirt on people, right?
Yeah, they threaten smear campaigns against them. And I just want to mention, it was Dennis Donmrozowski. I still cannot say that name, who broke the story over at his blog, f-brilliant.blogspot.com. I'd recommend reading the past two stories he has, at least. But as you said, they're threatening smear campaigns against these candidates. They said that Janice Arnold-Jones, they said that they'd go after her 20-year-old daughter, who's a student at the University of New Mexico. And for Mark Boitano, said that... said they told his campaign manager he'd be attacked for being a member of the Unification Church, which is kind of an insane church, to be honest. It's where that Seong Hun Moon, or however you say it, they believe he's the Messiah.
Yeah, and he married him, correct? He married...
Yeah, he performed the marriage. He didn't actually marry him.
Yeah, well...
But, and then Joe Curaro, they said that Joe Curaro... they told Joe Curaro they'd go after his divorce, a divorce he had 20 years ago, they'd bring that up. Just all kinds of stuff between the candidate. This, I don't know, that they chose their candidate before anybody got to vote is kind of ridiculous to me.
Yeah, and the thing that I like to say is that at least Curaro, you know, had the cojones, you could say, to actually go in there and still be in the campaign right now. Because he could have just said, no, I don't want to do it. So at least he's going through there, and at least showing some challenge to Darren White and, you know, the Republicans that chose him. So I hope that helps somewhere down the line.
And then today there was actually another even bigger story that Dennis Donmrozowski, I think I said it right that time,
yeah,
Dennis, that he broke again over
just
his blog.
Well, just a little while ago, right? It was a couple hours ago.
Yeah, it was at 1 o'clock today. 1 o'clock on Monday, we're taping this at about 6 p.m.
Yeah.
So about 5 hours ago. What the story was, Dennis Donmrozowski was told by Laura McCollum, who is the afternoon drive time news anchor, that she quit her job after she found out that there was alleged vote buying by the GOP in the 1st Congressional District. And then when she wanted to put it on the air, because she's a journalist, well, she works for KKOB, so she's close to a journalist, that when she wanted to put it on the air, their news director, Pat Allen, actually turned it down. He said there wasn't enough corroboration.
Yeah, and the evidence that they had was only
Dave Cargill.
Yeah, the word of Dave Cargill, which is a former governor and ward chairperson. Is that what he was? He's the head of a ward, and he said that he had a huge influx of people come in, like an additional, what, he usually gets 9 or 10, and he got almost 60. And he was wondering what was going on, and, you know, and people were telling him that they weren't going to come back. They were just doing this for one time.
And, like, normally the people who go to these ward meetings where they select the county delegates, they're the people who are very active in the party. And so that's why he said it's the biggest It's one of the biggest wards for the Republicans, because he's a Republican, as you all know. It's one of the biggest wards for the Republicans, and normally, you know, a handful of people show up, a dozen maybe. But this time, 59 people showed up, and he said, you know, it just demoralized people who normally show up, because these people were coming in, and they were buying votes. As, I don't think we even mentioned that yet, that they were buying the votes for the Darren White and for Heather Wilson.
How were they doing that? Were they paying them to go vote for him, or were they...
Well, it wasn't, they're like, hey, vote for Darren. They didn't get like a homeless guy and say, hey, here's $20 if you vote for Darren White. No, instead what they did is they were on the campaign, the people were on the campaign staff, and Dave Cargo told Don Rozalski that several people told him they were being paid $35 an hour for 2 hours by their campaigns, and that the campaigns had also paid their $30 registration fees. Now, I don't know about you, but $70 for 2 hours work isn't bad.
And Fargo even told them that... I mean, did I call him?
Fargo.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, but Dave Cargo also said that he knew that was vote buying, and he told them, and he knew it was illegal, and it's a fourth-degree felony. And, you know, he's not a dumb man. He knows what he's doing. He's a former governor, and he knows what the rules are.
He knows what the rules are, and either it's a fourth-degree felony for both parties. It's a fourth-degree felony for the people who accepted the bribe, because it's pretty much a bribe, and it's a fourth-degree felony for people who paid it. And he, Don Mozalski even quotes state law, and the one of the applicable portions says, I'm not even going to say, 1-20-11, offering a bribe consists of willfully advancing, paying, or causing to be paid, or promising directly or indirectly any money or other valuable consideration, office, or employment to any person for the following purposes. And one of those purposes is telling somebody how to vote.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and also just goes down the same thing just below. It says accepting a bribe. The people that went and accepted this money to go pay for him are just as much at fault, according to the law right here in front of us. So it's going to be very interesting to look at this and see if anyone actually, you know, if anyone actually has charges pressed, or they can actually prove this further, or if they do only have one person to corroborate it, which is true. Like, if you are a journalist, you do want two or three sources at the least. But it's tough because they're not going to make it a big deal. You know, the people that are doing this, if it is it true, the vote buying, are not going to make it to where that many people will actually know about it. Instead of going for the numbers, I think it's just the type of person that you have. And you have Dave Fargo Cargo. And I think that they should at least run it and see what happens, see if they have to retract it. But I think it's worth actually going out and sticking your head out there for once. KKOB.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much overlap we'll have with the listeners of KKOB or anybody who works there, but with the listeners to this podcast. But listener. And McCollum was, yeah, our one listener. Hi, and the McCollum lady, who was the news, the person on the desk during the afternoons of KKOB, she was pretty pissed off about this, because she said her main problem was it. With it, the stories were pulled because Heather Wilson's campaign put pressure on the newsroom management, on Pat Allen, the news director, and the other management there. So basically what you have is, not only did they do something illegal by buying votes, then they went ahead and told and made it so the news people didn't report it. And who's going to report it now? The Albuquerque Journal?
I guess just us bloggers, but we don't have as much pull because we're not mainstream media. But yeah, I hope the Journal gets on it, but I don't have much faith.
Yeah, Don Rozalski is also the co-host of Eye on New Mexico on Sunday mornings on KOB TV, so Channel 4. So hopefully he'll bring it up then. I'm sure he'll bring it up then. And maybe KOB, but I don't know. I'm not that happy with the TV media either. But there's other stuff that happened that's coming up this week that's also important, like the municipal elections, where us in Rio Rancho, we're going to be voting. In Santa Fe, they're voting. Carlsbad, Farmington, Alamogordo, Silver City, Bloomfield, Aztec. Just cities all over, cities and towns all over our great land of enchantment.
Yeah, and there's a couple in particular. Most of them are just for city council, mayor, etc. Well, not just, but most of them are only for those. But there's a couple that I think we should highlight briefly, which is Rio Rancho, where here we're actually going to, in addition to mayor and a couple city councilors, we're also going to vote for a 1/4 cent tax for the UNM campus that will be built downtown here. I think it's an awesome idea because I think it'd be great to bring that type of stuff over to Rio Rancho so they have my vote at least. I think that'd be good. Also, they have in Santa Fe, and Democracy for New Mexico has talked about this also, that they will they're going to try to do like a clean campaign type reform, and they're voting on that tomorrow too. And also, I think, you know, and then a couple. I think Alamogordo was also voting on a tax to fix their roads. So there's a couple of additional things going on that I think we should at least know about, because it is nice to see that people are trying to clean some stuff up, and the taxes are not too outrageous, in my opinion, but what do I know? So
yeah, just the UNM campus here, if you've been out to Rio Rancho lately, if you've been to Scorpions Stadium, what's the Santa Ana Star Center, as they call it.
Yeah, Santa Ana would sue you if you didn't call it that.
Yeah, I don't want to be sued. It's going to be right there, right, I think, directly west of it. Something like that.
It's going to be very close to it.
And CNM, actually, we actually passed a tax in Rio Rancho to have a CNM campus down here. So there could be a CNM and a UNM campus right next to each other, like in Albuquerque.
Yeah, and there were talks, I don't know, as a couple of months ago, even like 6 months or a year ago, I can't remember, but they had talks where they wanted all the major state universities here, which would be...
The UNM campus... It's going to be a combined UNM and MSU campus, yeah. I believe.
Yeah, and I think that'd be great, because I think they'll both do like their main focuses, and I know that New Mexico State does a great job at the agricultural aspect of things, and I think it'd be cool if we could have all that stuff over here in Rio Rancho and fill up this big empty space that no one can see right now.
Yeah, and the other big one is, as we said, up in Santa Fe, in our capital city of our state, they're doing a clean elections amendment for tomorrow, and that's basically publicly financed elections, which, as we know, was approved overwhelmingly in Albuquerque, and it didn't cause the apocalypse like many Republicans thought it would. It says that here at Democracy for New Mexico, it says it passed by a 69-39% margin, but
in Albuquerque.
But I did the math in my head, and that doesn't seem to add up correctly.
Oh, wow. I just realized that, yeah. A couple extra votes here and there. But that was also a voluntary reform, which I'm all for that, too, because it evens out it evens it out. If I wanted to go and become a candidate, I could not dish out my, $500,000 of my own money to get my campaign started.
Yeah, and so I'm sure there's other places around the state that are very important bond issues or other issues that we just don't know about, didn't get to. And one last thing we want to do, a little bit of a meta talking about, is Joe Monahan, everybody's favorite New Mexico blogger. He's been poor Joe lately. He's been picked on by the ladies over at Empire, by Democracy for New Mexico, by us at New Mexico FBI Hop, by Clearly New Mexico, by Coco from Coco Posts, by
almost every blog, on like the left-hand side, and we think we have some valid concerns.
Yeah, and actually on the right-hand side, they don't like him either, so I don't know who likes him except for his alligators, which is what, over at Clearly New Mexico, Parnelli Gonzalez wrote a story about who Joe Monahan's gator was, his lobbying buddy, or Gonzalez has a couple of suggestions about who it might be. So Gonzalez decided to start the Great Alligator Hunt. It's a new contest trying to find out who the lobbyist or alligator is that's feeding concerned troll Joe. And this is making fun of Joe Monahan, who just had a contest for college students to make their own.
I'm trying to look at what it was. It was to be able to come up with your own plan for like the best PR thing. And
for ethics.
Yeah, for ethics, but it had something to do with PR, I swear.
Officially it doesn't have to do with PR, but it's pretty much just PR for Joe. And
I think that's what they called it on the Clearly New Mexico blog, that is something that, like, who could spin it the best. Or I'm just already tired of this whole alligator deal. I don't know why he can't just either say who it is or just say it's an anonymous source. You don't need to make up a cute name about it.
Oh, it's because he's protecting the status quo, and he just wants to keep everything the way it has been for the past, however long he's been covering politics. He doesn't want to change. The people who are in power over there, they don't want to change. The lobbyists don't want to change. They love the way things are going, and I don't. I think that this ethic, that we do need ethics reform, and that Joe Monahan saying that there's many critics of Common Cause New Mexico and other lobbying groups on behalf of ethics. Those unnamed sources, I'll bet you lost $20 of my wallet that those are all lobbyists.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with you. Yeah, I just find it that the status quo is trying to continue, but I think that all the other blogs picking up on it and calling him on it is helping a lot to actually try to further it and, you know, get us away from the status quo.
Yeah, well, so that's our little bit of meta blog talk for the week, and we even talk longer than last time today, Paul.
Sorry.
Yeah, so we'll be back next week, and we don't know what we're talking about yet, but I'm sure we'll have some good things. I'm sure maybe there'll be a follow-up to the KKOB story.
Yeah, and if you have anything that you want us to talk about, or if you want to be a guest or anything, let us know on the blog.
www.nmfbihop.com. I'm sure you already know that. Or you can email Paul at nmfbihop@gmail.com or myself at fbihop@gmail.com. And, yeah, we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, thanks.